Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Maddie B. Kicking off with summer lifting. Talked a little bit working out and stuff on the pre-show, so you can check that out if you go to southboundsports.com. Sign up for Patreon. You get the live show every Tuesday night and a little bit of an extended look and behind-the-scenes stuff. Now, with school stopping and summer break starting, Matt, summer workouts are starting. How involved are you going to be this year with that?
Well, I'm going to be probably more involved than some assistants are, just because the head coach that I'm working with had to undergo a major knee ligament tear. And so his mobility is kind of limited. So it's kind of unfortunate that he had his accident, but beneficial that I'm going to be helping and know a lot of the procedures that we're going to be doing. So it kind of is just working itself out with helping with the offense.
So you said he had to go, and I was thinking that the doctors like made the tear, but you said then it was an accident.
Yeah, he had an accident and tore his patella.
Oh, I thought like something else was wrong and the doctors were like, we have to tear this to fix it.
No.
Because like I've heard of people doing that with like their shoulders and then it bothers them for the rest of their life.
No, this was an accident and ended up needing surgery, obviously, and is going to be out. So
with that now, do you work out with the kids?
Negative.
You're done working out for the rest of your life?
No, I will just, like, Monday was our first day of summer workouts. I just got up and got my workout in early. Picked the head coach up because he can't drive right now because his leg's immobilized, and came up and helped get set up for lifting. We put the kids through lifts, and then we got up on the field and did some of our field work.
Do you lift early so you're not embarrassed by the kids? Or
no, it's just I'm not playing this year, so it really doesn't matter what my workout thing is.
What kind of interview would this be if I didn't ask the hard questions?
Well, I think like that's like a really stupid thing that if you're like in the middle of like, hey bro, check out my curls here.
Hey, I've had coaches that work out with the kids and try to show them up. I don't know.
I'm sure that happens, but
how do you prove you're the alpha then?
Well, at this point, I genuinely don't care. I want to win games, and being that it doesn't matter how much I can bench press anymore, it's not going to equate to any wins or losses on the year.
Because I know like some coaches, like Mike Singletary, they had very strange rituals that they would do to show that they're the alpha in the locker room. Remember that?
I do remember. And I don't – if the day comes that that's what I have to resort to, I'm probably done.
I would think you would be done the instant that it happens.
Well, I don't feel like I should have to go there to get the attention of my team.
Very true. You had a lot of turnout this year or this summer?
Well, to me, I thought it was, all things considered, I thought it was good. We had about 23 players come out on Monday, which for the program I'm at is actually kind of low. But like I was saying to one of the other coaches, it's like it's a tale of 2 years because at my previous school, we would have lost our mind to have over 20 kids in the weight room and participating in summer. But at the school I'm at now, like you kind of look around and the expectation is everyone's has been at lifting. So it's like, where is everyone?
Yeah. That's the one thing that, I mean, it's going to vary by school, and it's not even like a culture thing. of like getting people to come out for sports. I feel like I talk about it all the time as like high school sports are the ending. They're going for like esports type stuff. But even then, like, is that going to take off? I keep hearing about how it's like the next big thing. And in terms of like years, I mean, football, it didn't really get to where it was in, like college-wise and even the NFL till like what, 70s, 80s, like 70s. When did the Super Bowl start? 60s or 70s?
Late 60s.
And like even the first couple Super Bowls weren't that big of a deal. I feel like the TV stuff really hit in the 80s where they were like really like they started to make TV deals, which started college football realignment and stuff, which we'll talk about later once again, because I feel like that's always the off-season talk. And then, so like in terms of like how big that got, that was like what, 80 years when the football started, like at least 50 years for the NFL. College is a little bit older than that. So like, is esports going to take that long? And you also have like the economy and stuff now, like schools are going to have to take cuts. I don't know how some schools are going to be able to fill all their positions right now. So like, how are you going to get kids and like give them the attention they need to even play sports and make sure that they're prepared, they know people, have people that know what they're doing to teach them things. So I'm always worried, like with the kids coming up, is it just going to like go away, extracurriculars? Because I feel like even classes I took in high school, however many years ago that was, like a decade or so, they don't even exist anymore. Right? Like, they're like, yeah, we don't do those electives anymore. It's like, okay. Weird. What do you do? We do math and, like, reading challenges. And the math is weird, too.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we don't want you to learn the math. We want to teach you this other unrelated weird way to do it. And they test you on that. It's like, all right, what a waste of time, man. But that's a different topic. That's not sports related. Anything else you have for summer workouts?
Well, I just think you're kind of hitting the nail on the head, because I think in lieu of some of the sports, you're also looking at like the esports, and people are going to start, you're see more of an emphasis on that. And you've touched on it in episodes past, but I mean, I see that's a battle that I fight at home, because I watch, and for the longest time, I couldn't figure out, you know, something that my kids were interested in. And my younger kid, he's like a whiz on those, like all the Mario games. And it was like to find something he was interested in, I was excited. But now I look at it, and I'm like, it's almost obsessive. Like, if he's that good at that, and we start shifting this, maybe he is going to be like an esports all pro. It's like, how do you turn a blind eye to that?
I thought you were going to say he was going to be a great plumber.
Maybe he could be a bit.
He has a killer mustache. Maybe that's the one you're going to go with.
yeah, his butt crack's always hanging out.
He needs an outfit with his name on it, or at least the letter of his first name, so he doesn't lose it. his favorite color makes it easy. Like Steve Jobs only wore like black sweaters or whatever. He just picked like a red, a red beret. Like, what even hats do they wear? Like, it's almost like a weird hat. It's not a baseball hat, but I know, I don't even know. Cause like you get the interest, you get kids playing that, but even like to go outside now, like we had weather warnings down here because like the fires in Canada or whatever. So they're like, yeah, don't even take the kids outside. It's like, is it really that bad? Like, is this new? Like, cause I knew like, before, like living by a military base, they would have like, oh yeah, we've had some like stuff we put off and you really shouldn't go outside. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm definitely not going to go outside. Cause like, who knows what kind of weird stuff they're doing there. And so like here, it's like, is it really going to hurt you? Like, it doesn't look that bad outside. And I mean, luckily I was working outside the whole weekend. Hopefully it didn't get me then, but I don't know. I mean, I guess if it's a warning tomorrow, I shouldn't run really, maybe, right? don't need to get black lung working outside, but getting the kids to do it, you got to go outside, got to do like physical activities and other things like that. Instead, like, you got Apple announcing like a couple thousand dollar headset to like wear around. Like, I would never wear that for 2 hours and you're like plugged in. Because you know what will happen? You go to like a car dealership and everyone's sitting by like the three outlets that are there and they all have their headsets on.
Yep.
That's the future. And someone is watching like porn or something at full volume. Just sitting there like you're at the airport or like you're at the McDonald's. You're like, oh my God, what's wrong with that guy? No filter anymore. That's what's going to happen. So I guess I'll start with the NFL. So NFL has an issue right now with gambling, right? I don't know if you saw this, but Isaiah Rodgers Sr., he's a Colts player. He's now being investigated for gambling. I saw something about maybe another player or two that could be connected with gambling, not connected to him. I think just different situations. And then they brought up like the Calvin Ridley thing where they're starting to watch it more. And I'm thinking, you're advertising it. You're advertising it. Why does it matter if so-and-so player is gambling on a different team, like the old Pete Rose thing, right? He's gambling on his team to win. Like, you can't tell me that the NFL doesn't have a guy that he, like, they're going to have to cut it off, because if players growing up, everywhere they look, college, pros, they have gambling ads. I think it was Michigan State. They had a sponsorship by a gambling company and they didn't renew it, or they broke it like a couple weeks ago. I forgot to bring it in. I think it was them. And they were like, yeah, we've realized it wasn't in like the best interest of our athletes. It's like, yeah, no shit. Like, what are you talking about? Like, your student population, you have your arena being brought by like all these gambling things. Of course some kids are going to get into trouble. Like, they're already poor to begin with because it costs $1 billion to go to college these days. And you're just bombarding them with gambling. And then you have, like, college guys, like, or NFL guys, I mean, like, can they do March Madness? Can they do this? Can they do that? Is it only NFL? I know they probably get a handbook and they get told stuff, but you're not playing. You're not on a roster. Because, like, wasn't the Calvin Ridley thing? He was hurt. So he's like, yeah, who cares, you know? Like, I have nothing to do here. I'm just going to go ahead and gamble on my boys because I think they're going to win. Right? Because it's kind of like insider trading, but even then, it's like not really. Unless, like, you're a player and coach calls you up and is like, yeah, we're going to tank this week. And thanks, coach. I'm gonna hop on the old internet and place a few bets. He's like, oh, yeah, don't tell anybody. So, that's my NFL news for the week. They're cracking down on gambling, but yet they're not shunning the sponsorships. Legalized gambling's getting passed in more states across the country. I don't think it's legal in North Carolina yet, but I could be wrong. I really haven't been following it that close, and I really don't care, right? Because, like, gamble on that, buy stocks, gamble on stocks. Like, what's the difference, you know?
So, yeah.
That's my feelings on it. I really don't think I compare it to stocks. Like, if you're an employee, other places like allow you to buy their stock or even give it to you as like your retirement or whatever, and it's kind of like a gamble with your future. Because I always have friends like, yeah, I'm taking a new job. They're like giving me stock. It's like, all right, well, how's their company doing? Like, well, right now, not too good. It's like, well, that's your future, buddy. What are you talking about? Not too good. So it's like, who cares if they give you 1 million shares if the price is going down to like 50 cents, man, or not even that or whatever, you know? Like, throw, oh, yeah, it's a cent now. It's like, ah, yeah, I got $100 in here or whatever it would be. So, like, here you're like going through with like the NFL. Hey, gamble on sports, gamble on sports. You're in your locker room. There's probably ads all through the stadium. And it's like, yeah, maybe I should gamble on sports. I am bored today. So fix the messaging. And if a player wants to gamble on his team, let him gamble. It'd make it more interesting, right? If a player could gamble on his team to win, maybe just straight up and not so much money line, right? Or with the spread. Because, like, that's where you can get into some issues. Like, if you have to win by 20 and you're sitting there at 19 and you're, like, on the 10 and you're about to need to end the game and you're like, get back out of there, field goal team. We got to cover the spread. Those are the ones where it's kind of tricky. I understand that there's nothing that the athletes can do. Even like fantasy, right? If an athlete comes in and they're the wide receiver, wouldn't that kind of be like an endorsement if they're like, yeah, I'm going to be the highest, I'm going to bet on myself to be, have the most touchdowns this week, right? Like, I'm going to give myself a bonus.
But I think where it would like be difficult is then like the following week, they're like, oh, this game plan sucks, I'm not betting anything. And then they're like, well, clearly they don't have any confidence in them.
Make it public. Don't politicians, I mean, it takes them like a while, but don't they have to make their stock trades public so you can know which ones are like gaming the system? Make the football guys like, no. So like if you see like some guy going out there and just like Aaron Rodgers is like, he hasn't been betting on himself lately. It's like, yeah, he's losing it. He is losing it. And then when Hopkins starts betting on himself, you're like, all right, he's getting the ball, baby. He's back. So that's what I want to see going forward. Just like let someone happen. I did have Patriots right now are supposedly leading for DeAndre Hopkins. Did you see that?
No, I saw. Yeah, I did see that was one of them. I'm trying to think of who the other team was.
The Browns, man, still. Which is kind of scaring me because I had Amari Cooper. He pretty much helped my fantasy team.
And reuniting with Watson.
Yeah. That would kind of screw that up, right? Because now it's looking like Derrick Henry, they're kind of like toying him around. And so I don't even know, like, keeper-wise, what route I should go. Because, like, if Henry's going to be moved, that's a disaster. Wasting money on that, like, high value on that when you don't know what the new game plan is. Same with Eckler. Because didn't he get hurt? At the end of the year, maybe I'm thinking wrong. But it's like, I need to see how he's doing. He carried the ball a ton last year. So, like, a safer bet would be, like, Cooper if he's the number one and Deshaun Watson's coming back hot, you know?
Yeah.
But if they bring Hopkins in, then I'm like, oh, well, there goes that idea. And then I'm going to have to come up with a whole new strategy. But that's something we're going to be hitting on in a month or so whenever we get back into the fantasy stuff. The Patriots, I don't even know, like, would he even be a fit there? Do they throw the ball? What direction are they going? Not that I care about the Patriots, but...
The Tom Brady-less Patriots.
Yeah, I only care about Tom Brady, dude. When Tom Brady left, I haven't talked about the Patriots at all. I talk about how Bill Belichick has no Super Bowls, and Tom Brady has won one without him. So the legacy flipped. Remember, everyone kept saying that Brady was being carried along by Belichick, and now no one says anything about Belichick anymore. Brady completely destroyed his coaching legacy. Seriously, think about it. How many people bring him up as like the greatest coach anymore? No one. They saw Tom Brady come down and just win games with a crappy Bucs team. And there's more hype on him like being the Raiders QB than anything that's coming out of the Patriots right now. So, one guy's career destroyed. Belichick's, his legacy. Anything else you have for the NFL?
No.
One thing that I did try to relax with this week was the USFL. And I come in and I'm watching a game, you know, just want to relax for a bit. And the TV broadcast is ridiculous. They're showing highlights on a tablet. It's like a Microsoft Surface, which I have. Nice computer, right? You know? But they're showing it, the player hold the tablet up, and with the camera, you can't see it. It's reflecting right off it. I sent you a screenshot, and I thought, like, why are they even wasting time on it? Because before I got the screenshot up, they had it, that was the entire screen, Matt. Like, they finished the play, and they're like, well, let's take a look at what you saw. and they went to the player, and it was just the reflection off the tablet to the point where you couldn't see anything. And then they even kept it up. Like, the camera guy or whoever was running the show had to have looked at that broadcast and said, the viewer can't see anything on this at all. And they were like, you know what? Let's keep showing it, though. Let's go to a split screen so that you can't really see the next play either. So half the screen is the next play, and the other screen is a guy just holding the tablet with a bad reflection so he can't see it. And I'm like, what is this? And then the other thing that caught my eye is you're in all these weird towns, right? There's no one at the game. We make fun of Miami, the Hurricanes, for having like half their stadium tarped. Stadium's completely tarped. They have tarps in the end zone that go all the way down. So when the team's going to score, because the games were good, but when they're going to score, there's no crowd in the end zone to like really add that excitement layer. Think about like college football. I know like Michigan's student section is right in the corner there. So if the opposing team's going for the game-winning touchdown right in front of the student section, which I think was like where Ohio State had the big pass breakup. Was it 2 years ago or last year? Where Sanders still ran across the field and the tight end looked like he had a clear touchdown. He like knocked out of his hand. Or maybe that was in Ohio State Stadium. I can't remember. But like having a guy right there in the student section is always going to be more of an impact than having all of your fans on the 50-yard line. And so I wondered, like, who came up with that decision? Like, I'm assuming they tarped it because it had, like, the big NBC logo on it or whatever. So their TV guy was like, well, when they're going for the game-winning touchdown, they'll know who's broadcasting them. It's like, buddy, you already see it in the corner of the screen anyway.
But I feel like that was going in was one of the things that the USFL had discussed was that they were restricting access for their games. And I didn't understand the logic to that, because with the XFL, they were making it more fan based. And I almost feel like you're losing major components of this. Like, I felt like with the XFL, when we talked about it, was like that they were focusing so much on the experience for the fans that they kind of blew off like advertising when they were even playing or who the, like, anything marketing for the team was just completely negligent. And the USFL, like, they're taking ads out for the Super Bowl, but I feel like there's nothing for them. Like, it's like they spent all their money on that ad during the Super Bowl.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because the TV ratings are awful for like what they're on. They're on major networks. I'm pretty sure all four games are either on NBC or Fox this past weekend. And they're not even breaking a million viewers. And as I watched, I thought, like, people were like, is that it? What are you watching? Is this a scrimmage? It's like, no, this is a real game. It does feel like a scrimmage, though. You're right, because they're going for the game-winning touchdown. There's 30 seconds left. In two of the games I watched, I'm pretty sure each team had a chance to go back and score. One of them did, and I think the other one ran out of time. And then they had to throw a Hail Mary, and they didn't get it. And then it was like there was no excitement there. And to me, I understand, like, let's make the prices high. Let's not bring that many people in. To me, the only reason I would think they would do that is because they don't want to have to deal with like the concessions and like all these other things. But why not have it at a smaller stadium then? Like, if the logistics are like that bad, there are smaller colleges out there that would love to have the games, right? You're having them at these big stadiums. I guarantee, like, outside it's empty. I almost wonder, like, what would it be if they just made the game free, right? Because they make people pay for parking anyway, and beers are like $12, which is outrageous. So they're making like 100% markup on the beers. So if you get people into the stadium and you sell them $10 beers or $12 beers, whatever you want to sell them, even if the ticket is free, and like parents might bring their kids. Kids are never going to sit for 3 hours or whatever it is without begging to go to the concession stand. So I never understood when you have like these minor league games and they're like, yeah, our tickets are going to be $100. Yeah, we don't make enough on concessions. It's like, yeah, because people are spending $400 just to get in with their family. And then you are charging them $12 beers, man. They can only afford to go to one game, where if it was completely free, you come in. So if you really wanted to just go in and see the game and you were like, I'm not going to pay, I'm not going to pay for parking. I'm going to have someone drop me off, like an Uber, which you'd pay for an Uber. Maybe you'd take the bus. Take the bus right to the stadium, go into the game. I'm not going to buy anything. I'm going to sit there, cheer for the game. At least you would have fans cheering on TV. And I think it would be a better product. And if people are channel surfing, they actually see a game with a crowd where it doesn't look like a scrimmage or a practice. I think more people would watch that. It's kind of like the fake it till you make it thing, right?
Yeah.
But you have to have, like, you'd have to have that type of excitement. It would almost be like, just let the spring game be on a college campus. Not a big one. Like, of course, like if you went to the Big House and you're trying to get 100,000 people to watch a USFL game, even for free, probably not going to happen. But there are like smaller stadiums out there, like that hold, like the Northwestern was talking about having their stadium hold like 30,000 or whatever. Remember, it's supposed to be like a premium stadium. What are they doing with that in the offseason? Absolutely nothing, probably. Maybe having a concert or two. Why not have the USFL there in Chicago? And that's the Chicago team stadium. And you're bringing people on campus. Northwestern has a bunch of stuff, so you're helping like the local business or whatever. And then Northwestern's help, like you say, hey, why don't you help us run concessions? You guys like get a cut of it. We'll take like a cut. We're going to make tickets like free. All your students can come in. They'll buy the crap or whatever. And then that's it. Like work a deal like that. I'm pretty sure that's kind of like what the NHL was doing for their outside games at college stadiums. They work out a deal where the college provides like all this stuff for the venue. They do this. They take a cut. The NHL gets the rest. And that's it. USFL could easily do the same thing. Like the NHL thing is so successful because they're letting fans in. They're making it fan friendly. They're doing all kind of fan event type stuff. The USFL is like, no, we don't even want fans here. We are literally just doing this to fill TV time. And it doesn't feel fun. Like, it wasn't fun, like, watching it. Even though the games were good, I wasn't like, yeah, remember when the crowd, like, got super pumped up? Because, like, even college, there's some games that, like, I'm not connected to. Like, you're just watching and you remember, like, I remember that play. Or I remember that call. Like, right? Because, like, even thinking, like, talking about the Michigan-Ohio State game, like, when was it Gus Johnson or whatever? He yelled, like, the Don when Donovan Edwards, like, broke that 80-yard touchdown. Like, I see that replay everywhere. And like the USFL, like what are their replays? It's like a, like I said, it looks like a scrimmage out there. There's no crowd excitement. The announcers are calling it like they're drinking tea. Like, yeah, yeah. There's a slant there, bro. All right, let's go. Next play. Oh, that's a curl. Let's look at that replay. I can't really see what's going on there. Great. It's like one of the games, I forgot to bring this up a few weeks ago, I think. It was like a touchdown, and the guy like nonchalant was just like, yeah, and there's another touchdown. And I thought, like, are they paying this guy? Is he even watching the game? Like, if he had a prototype of the Apple headset and he's like watching something totally different, I wouldn't even be surprised, Matt. I wouldn't be surprised. That's how like embarrassing it is to kind of watch the game. Heck, let the college kids do it if it's at a college stadium. Let them get hands-on experience broadcasting. I think Northwestern has a big J school. Why don't you just have them do the sports broadcasting stuff and pay them as like a paid internship? It's summer, right? I think the timeline actually works better now because you have, I complained about the NHL and the NBA like lining up. There's still dead time in between games where it's kind of like nothing sports is on. And I'm like trying to watch other things that are just like random, you know, because like sports are good background noise that you have to watch like pretty much live. Because like watching even old games, like I just can't do it. Because like, you know, it's like, well, if it's highlights, it's one thing. Or like if it's a documentary, but like sitting down and being like, yeah, I'm going to watch this 1970s game. Like, nah, I will not do that. So, I don't know. Have you watched any of the USFL or did you stop with the XFL?
I've watched a little bit, but I'll be honest with you. I think, you know, for as much as we've scrutinized the XFL, I feel like they had a better model because they followed right off of the heels of the NFL. And when you're looking at comparing the two leagues, now the USFL's running into this crunch of now the weather's starting to turn for a lot of places. So now they're competing with baseball and just family time that's outside. So I think like they're stuck between a rock and a hard place now.
Yeah, and then even the night games, like if the NBA or NHL's on, you're also pulling against that. I don't know. I kind of like ending it in July. It's like right before the All-Star game. I think it's like might even be July 1st is their championship game. But then it's like, are people even watching at this point? It's on NBC. Like, golf and stuff pulls better ratings. So, like, maybe it's harder to broadcast golf. I don't know. I always thought, like, it's easier for them to do, like, basketball or something where it's indoors. The cameras are there. You don't really have to move them, you know. Football's a little bit different because it's outside. So you have the elements you kind of have to battle. But if you don't let the crowd in, maybe you don't have to worry about that too much. I don't know. The other thing that I have here from the TV side, I was trying to look at highlights from one of the plays I saw. And around the same time on the weekend, there was an Ironman competition going where people were competing. They're riding their bikes down the stretch. I don't even know what country it was in. They're riding down the stretch and they had the TV crews or whatever following them on motorcycles on a narrow road. Like, so motorcycles are going right beside people that are riding their bikes in this Ironman competition. And it's a two-man motorcycle crew. And there's not a good view of it, but the camera guy hits a biker. And the guy that was driving the motorcycle died. And I was like, well, the camera guy survived because he was on the back. The biker, the Iron Man person that he ran over, he survived. But the guy that was driving died. He was 70 years old. And I thought, you have a 70-year-old man driving a motorcycle in dangerous conditions? I didn't even want a 70-year-old man driving me in a taxi, Matt, 2 miles down the road. Are you serious? There are some jobs that people do, but once you hit a certain age, like the retirement age is there for a reason, right? Not, hey, we need someone to drive this motorcycle. It's like, yeah, I'll do it. I can still drive. I got my license. It's like, do you? Do you? The camera guy's like, yeah, I really don't know. I was kind of surprised. Like, you're kind of surprised. I would have been like, no. Next. Even if it was my dad, I'd be like, Dad, let's hang it up here, buddy. You can have the motorcycle for show, like post pictures on your Facebook or something, but like, you really shouldn't be driving this motorcycle, man. No, especially in an Ironman competition, which is probably a long distance, right? So he has to keep it steady for a long distance. And he has a camera guy on the back, probably throwing the weight off. And then he plowed right into the bike guy. But to be fair, the bikes were all on the one side of the road and the motorcycles were on the other. He's flying on the outside. I don't know what he was doing. Passing everybody. But the biker that he hit was kind of on the other lane. And you, like I said, you really couldn't see what was going on. There was like three other dudes all with cameras. And I couldn't get a better view. But I was like, how did he hit the guy? Did the bike swerve that into that lane? Not expecting that guy to be like trying to pass everyone. It was an entire mess. But I thought, like, why do they need all these camera guys here? Why is the guy 70 years old driving the motorcycle? Insanity. Like, insanity. And nothing against people that are like old, but like your reaction times are down. Right?
Yeah.
And you have another guy on the back with a camera. I still can't wrap my head around it. I was like, I saw it as a tragedy. But like I said, I was kind of just like mind blown that someone thought that was a good idea. I mean, our president's old. He can't even stop falling, dude. I don't know if it was the 80 or something. This guy's 70. Like, I wouldn't want him driving a motorcycle either. Let's put it at that. Like, safety first, man. Let's see what else. I guess that's kind of all I have for the pro football, if you consider USFL pro. Let me just double check my notes here to make sure I didn't miss anything. Iron Man, yeah, NFL, gambling, blah, 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 pretty much. Anything you have for pro stuff?
No, not so much pro.
I haven't really watched some of the NHL stuff. I know the Panthers are getting, they're down like 2-0 or 0-2, whatever it is. And I had a feeling that was going to happen. And it looks like Vegas is going to ride the wave where like they got lucky with the way the expansion draft was, and they've kind of just rode that wave, and they're going to get their cup, right? And the Heat surprisingly battle back. But I didn't even look and see what the TV ratings were for the NBA Finals. I just know that it can't be good. I can never win. Anytime I read something where it's like, hey, there are stellar TV ratings, it's like, well, who put that out? What are they showing? Like, what is the actual thing here? Because they're putting the games on like regular TV or TNT. It's like, it's not going to be there. Let's see. So it had 11 million, which was the average for last year. So it's the same. I wouldn't say that was stellar ratings, right? It's actually better than I thought it was going to be. I was thinking like 8 or 9. But like the USFL can't even get 1 million. So like, what are you up against? Let's see if I can find real quick Stanley Cup Finals TV ratings, because I'm sure theirs isn't as high either. Because back in the day, the Stanley Cup Finals used to be more than that. But here we have, oh yeah, wait, so basketball has been averaging around 11 million, 11 to 12. That's so far overblown, but both those games have been good. I thought Miami was going to just go ahead and get blown out, so it wouldn't have mattered. Why is this hockey final story all about basketball? I hate The Athletic, dude. I legit hate The Athletic. It looks like Stanley Cup is getting around like 2 and 3 million, which isn't bad, but isn't good. And that's because the games are like on TNT. So like, why are you doing that to yourself? Yeah, the game's on TNT, TBS, and True TV. Absolutely awful TV deal the NHL has. Awful. They prioritize Canada. Canada can't get teams into the finals. So then you get screwed on the TV ratings. Maybe Canada's ratings make up for it, right? I don't know. But like, if you're peaking at 3.3 million viewers, you have a bad TV deal. USFL can get on Fox and NBC, but you can't get the Stanley Cup Finals on regular TV, where back in like the 90s, they were pulling in 12 million people watching that. Like, I'm not even joking how much of a drop off that this has been for hockey. Like back when it was on NBC, they were getting like 6 million when Carolina was in it, like back in the day. And like, yeah, heck, even a couple years ago with the Penguins, they were like at 6 point something million. A couple years ago with St. Louis winning it, they peaked at like 8 million. You're getting 2 million because it's on TBS and like TNT. Is the extra money worth it if no one watches your sport and then they, you know, forget about it? Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's the exposure is the number one thing. XFL didn't have it. The USFL has it, but they don't care. So, like you said, they don't promote it. NHL's kind of like, well, we have our diehards. Those diehards are going to get old. And then who's going to watch? Because if young kids can't watch it, you're not going to have any new fans coming in. They're going to play video games, like you said. They find a video game they can play. Same with like the NHL hockey game. Can't play it on anything else except for the Xbox or the PlayStation, right? It's not on computers. It's not on the Switch, which the Switch was the best-selling console. So, like, you can't play it on the best-selling console. Can't play it on computers or anywhere else. You have to buy a new Xbox or a new PlayStation to play it. Meanwhile, Madden realized that it has to be on everything or their sales are going to start to hurt, right? I don't think they put it on Switch yet either. But baseball, the show came to Switch. The NHL, it's like, no, we're going to keep doing our thing, like our lazy thing, and people are going to buy less and less and less, and it's going to be gone. It's not going to be around anymore. Because they don't put in the effort, you lose fans, and it's going to be over. Because it's not a licensing thing like college football. Like, that disappeared because they didn't have the license. Same with, like, college basketball didn't have the sales. I wonder if they, like, put together, like, an NBA Jam-type college game, if it would sell gangbusters, right? Put in, like, legendary players and play, like, NBA Jam, like, with college dudes. I think that would be a big seller. But NHL, man, get it together. I don't know. Anything you want to add on? You're going to say something?
No, I think you're right. I think that would be a good seller. And to kind of find that middle ground for some of the people that want a college football game, but at the same time running into some type of issue, you know, with the NIL type things. Because that has been the sticking point of some of the NCAA things, is how much is who's getting money and, you know, all that stuff.
Just curious on, like, other sports things, because, like, you brought up Mario earlier in this show. He has his own soccer game, his own, like, golf game, and I can't find, like, total sales. But, like, to me, if you're able to teach kids, like, hey, I'm really into Mario. Hey, you're going to play soccer. Why don't you just get this Mario soccer game? You can learn, like, a little bit of the rules. I know, like, the Mario games probably don't have, like, all the rules in it. But as a kid, you're out there running around. Coach's telling you to kick the ball in the net. I don't think it really clicks to you until, like, a certain point, right? Some kids get it earlier, and then they're, like, the kid carrying the team. But to me, like, playing, like, Madden stuff really taught you, like, the nuisance of the game, where it's like, oh yeah, can't do that, got to do this. And if you don't have the game available, like for NHL, like, no one's going to learn how to play the game. It's not like kids can just go out and skate anywhere anyway, because it's too expensive. You have to get, like, an ice and go pay for it and get someone to drive you there and stuff. So having a sport that's, like, not very accessible, and you're not making it accessible to anybody, you're just making it a walled garden. And same with, like, soccer. Like, you sign the Apple deal. All your games are only on Apple, whatever, now. And it's not even included, Matt. I don't think we ever talked about that. I wanted the Big Ten to have, like, be on Apple Plus or whatever. And if their deal was that it would be a separate add-on package, I'm glad they didn't do it. Because it's not that you can just buy Apple Plus and watch soccer. You have to pay $10 extra, but you can't just pay for the soccer package. You have to pay for the Apple thing first. So then you're paying $15 for a network you're never going to watch if you're only into soccer. It's not like, hey, let me pay this. Peacock, I want to see what's going to happen. They put Michigan's first game on Peacock, right? I can also stream a bunch of games. I want the Big Ten to work with them to say, we are going to put all of our streaming games here. Because I haven't seen any finalized thing, and I think that's kind of what they've been working on, the Big Ten, on what's going to happen with like the other sports. Are they going to be on Peacock? Because isn't that where like the Olympics were and I complained about it? Because some were on the Olympics app, some were on Peacock, and it was very confusing to figure out what the hell I was supposed to be watching. So like, if the Big Ten still has that problem, I don't care if they're getting $100 million. I want it to be easier for me to watch the games. People complain about it being on three channels. Not a big deal. The NFL does that all the time. But the NFL has one NFL Plus app where you can watch their crap. I don't want to have a Big Ten Plus app anymore and a Fox Sports app and now a Peacock one. I just want one app. I don't care what it is. I don't want to have to pay for Peacock and then pay for a Big Ten package either. I just want it to be included like ESPN Plus pretends that they do. So that's the end, my end TV rant. let's see. What did I have on here? Blue chip ratio came out. Real Football Talk. And I got to say, Matt, I kind of agree in the past with like, hey, your team got to be on the list if you want to have a chance at winning the national championship. I think blue chip ratio is showing its age. They don't take into account transfers. And some of these teams, do they even have players on the team anymore after all the transfers? So, like, how's a team like A&M, didn't they lose a bunch of their players?
Yes.
So you're still having them at 73%. And is it people that are still on the team? Like, I'm very confused on how he did it. And then he kept talking about how the transfers aren't there anymore. Like, he's not counting them. But, like, USC has, like, Caleb Williams that was a transfer. And they had Addison last year. Michigan had, they've been bringing in linemen and cornerbacks and linebackers. And it adds great depth. Like, that absolutely makes a difference. So if you don't want to count them, great. But if they're all Americans and getting picked in like the top couple rounds in the draft, yeah, you should probably count them, right?
But I think it's funny that you bring that up because there was a report discussing the disparity in the transfer portal between Florida State and Clemson. And when you look like over the last couple years, Clemson's only taken maybe two or three guys from the portal. And Florida State has, like, what, 24 or 42?
Oh, yeah. Did you text me that stat, or did I just...
Like... Yeah, it was from the article that I was reading, because I thought, well, I think it shows two things. Number one, it shows that for a program like Clemson that was already established, they had their recruits in place and were recruiting at a high level because of their recent national championships. They didn't need to necessarily rely on the portal as much as what I'd said with Florida State. If they didn't have the transfer portal right now, you're probably still looking at them trying to climb out of the hole that they had dug themselves in because of the recruiting efforts that or lack thereof. So, I mean, I think it totally makes sense. But also at the same time, I don't think that the transfer portal helped not only bridge the gap, but I think it's put Florida State in competition in a place where they can truly compete for the outright ACC title this season. And I don't think you would say that if you didn't have access to cycling guys in and out.
That's why I think it's outdated. Because they talk about, hey, they've signed more blue chip recruits. Like, yeah, they're recruiting at a level that can get you a national championship. But I have a feeling like I thought Florida lost a lot of guys. And to see them on this list, I wouldn't think that they're going to be anywhere near a national championship. I'm not saying that they would be. Tennessee's another one. They've brought in guys. Like their quarterback is going to be a transfer from Michigan, Joe Milton, pretty sure. The quarterback last year was a transfer. So like having someone come in and then have that. Now, they're bringing in, they do have a transfer thing here, but I don't know how, like, updated this is, because, like, yeah, A&M dropped 7% for the blue chip with the transfers, but I don't think that it, is that much more. Like, Michigan's the only team that went up with transfers, according to his list here. I'm more looking at the talent composite, and it is not updated yet for, like, the talent team. And I think that that's what I think that's going to be more of an indicator of where the teams are. Because Michigan's on the list. Like, I think everyone knows, back-to-back Big Ten champs. They have a chance to win the national championship. No one would be surprised if they won the Big Ten again and made the playoffs for a third straight year. Everyone's pretty much back on the team. But, like, seeing some of the teams here, like you said, Clemson, yeah, they've been recruiting like gangbusters. They're not hitting the transfer portal. Their team hasn't looked good. You can blame it on the quarterback all you want, but the team still hasn't looked good. It wasn't like, hey, we're a quarterback away. Like, in the years past, I've talked about where, like, Michigan looked like, man, if they only had a quarterback that wasn't turning the ball over, like making a bonehead throw. Like, I hate to throw John O'Korn under the bus, but, like, there was that one where they had a chance to drive on Ohio State. One of the first plays, he just throws it straight to an Ohio State safety. And it's like, all right, man. Like, are you serious? Like, you can just throw it away or make, like, anything that could, like, at least make the game exciting at the end. And it just felt like once they get a consistent quarterback, and then you even get a guy like Wilton Spate that he wasn't awesome. He just wouldn't make mistakes. Same with like Cade McNamara, not blowing it out of the water. And then guess what? Michigan's miraculously winning the Big Ten, you know? And so like with Clemson, I didn't really feel that with them. It just felt like their play calling was a mess. Where it's like, what do you call? Like, you know, that's not the strength of your quarterback. And to me, it wasn't like, hey, if they got another quarterback in there, these plays would work. It more felt like this feels like a disaster on the coaching side. So bringing in a new quarterback with a disaster for coaching is like totally different. Like to me, that's the feeling that I have coming into the season. I know that Florida State has a lot of hype looking at this list. Miami's always on here. They've been paying for recruits. I don't think Cristobal is a great coach. I've watched their team play. They were more disorganized than what I felt Clemson was last year. And so looking at this, I don't even know. I think the ACC is wide open. I saw, what was it? Pat Narduzzi calling out like West Virginia fans and like, how he's going to be scared or whatever, like coming into there. It's like, all right, Pitt, you've had the chance. When do you start taking that step and recruiting better? Right? Like there's no one in the Coastal that's stopping you. Miami's recruit is the only team that's like stepping up the recruiting. That's what gets me with like the Big Ten and the West. It's like Wisconsin has had success. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to pull people from the portal. There were rumors last year with like some big names almost coming to them. It's like, yeah, almost. Put together an NIL package. Like NIL is a thing now. It doesn't really matter where your program's located if you can NIL things together like Miami's doing, but the coaching has to be there. Like I feel like Pitt has the coaching in place like some Big Ten schools, but yet they're not bringing in the talent to compete. So you can come in and then you're just going to get steamrolled by teams that do have the talent and maybe don't have the best coaching, you know? But like, look at Clemson like last year, like didn't they make the switch at quarterback against Tennessee? Still got blown out. Right. So like going back to them and the ACC, it's like, do they have a top team? I don't know. Notre Dame's another question mark for me. Are they going to be a nobody? Like if Ohio State killed Notre Dame this year, I wouldn't be surprised. But Ohio State has a new quarterback and a bunch of other changes that they have to fight through. I've seen some people predict like on the Ohio State side of things, just keeping an eye on the rivals, you know, some people would be like, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we lost three or four games this year. It's like, I don't see that personally because of the talent gap. But I wonder if they're starting to like sour on Ryan Day, and if Notre Dame can come in and beat them bad early, could the wheels fall off? I don't know. If Ohio State's wheels fall off, though, and James Franklin doesn't win this year, I don't know where Penn State goes. Right?
I don't think they'll go anywhere. I think they're content with Franklin as he is.
But I mean, like, building the program up. Like, same with Texas. Texas has the hype this year. Everyone's talking about, like, this great offense was the Sarkisian's putting together. It's like, I haven't had confidence in Sarkisian in years. So, like, do I expect a good Texas? No. And same with the blue chip ratio in terms of, like, power programs. The two Big 12 teams that are on here are going to the SEC. The two Pac-12 teams, one of them's going to the Big 10. Oregon's begging the Big 10 to take them. And there's rumors that there's a discounted price that they're willing to take to even make that jump, like Maryland and like Nebraska are willing to do. So there's a good chance that like the Pac-12 and the Big 12 will have no top talent in the next couple years if their big top teams jump to new conferences. And that's the thing that people should be scared about with the conference realignment. Because I sent you some stuff, because like just because it was like a joke, where they're talking about, what was the thing that I sent you? Well, first off, the AAU, the thing that we talk about with like the Big Ten's academic like thing that they're looking at. They invited like six teams or whatever it was, six schools, I guess, not really teams, but it was Arizona State, Cal Riverside, Miami, Notre Dame, USF, and then George Washington, but George Washington doesn't have like sports or whatever. So the big three is going to be Notre Dame, Arizona State, and Miami. Arizona State was supposed to join the Big Ten in hockey. I don't know what happened, if it was like a COVID deal or what. I tried to look into more information on that, and there's like nothing found. But Notre Dame and Miami now, if the Big Ten just magically announced in like 3 weeks, like, hey, we're going to 18, we're bringing in Miami and Notre Dame, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I think like Oregon fans would be kind of pissed, right? Because they'd say like, why don't you just bring us too? You know, but the AAU stuff isn't like a real requirement. I tried to find schools. I don't think, is Oregon in the list? I guess I should have looked it up. I think Oregon is in there, right? Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I had the map up, but I don't think I had that screenshot. It looks like I have a bar graph of schools like NC State and Virginia Tech surprisingly being closer than I thought in terms of like research dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Oregon and Washington both are in. So are Arizona and Arizona State, Utah and Colorado, and then Stanford and Cal. So if you wanted a Western block and your thing is like, hey, we want these big research universities or whatever, the Big Ten has options. I text you, they could very easily pick all these schools up and just make a 32 team like super conference like the NFL. Where they tell like NBC, Fox, and CBS, like, hey, we're going to make sure that you have enough like major programs to pick. You don't have to pick Charlotte at Maryland anymore, NBC. Like, you don't have to do that. That was just because we're settling things in. And the SEC, on the other hand, their rumors are that they only want schools in their footprint, which doesn't make sense if you're trying to make more money, right? Because if you're trying to say, hey, we're the best football conference, we have the best TV ratings or whatever, we don't make the most money, the Big Ten makes the most money, how do you increase that money? It's by getting new televisions to watch, right? The only way you do that is if you go into a different state. One of the Big Ten leagues said that the Big Ten is still focused on only having, they really prefer only having one team per state. The only states that would make an exception would be big ones like Florida, Texas, and California, which makes sense, right? Because like you're not going to take Oregon and Oregon State. You're just not. That's why the Pac-12 is in trouble right now. The one like North Carolina, that's the one that kind of stuck out to me, because if they take North Carolina, that means they don't take Duke or NC State. Where do they go? I also like, I don't know if you caught this, but I don't know if I sent you the full article or not, but the SEC insider, Matt, also put that the SEC was only interested in ACC schools, and they included West Virginia on that list. West Virginia is not in the ACC, buddy. So I don't know what you're talking about. That immediately discredits you. If you're telling me like, hey, I got this inside source and this is what they're saying, only ACC schools and they mention West Virginia, you're lying. Because West Virginia is in the Big 12. I think West Virginia would be a great fit. I also think that they would probably be interested in Pitt then. And I really think that the SEC, if they're going to do anything, they have to hit back and hit some of the Big Ten states. You have to get Cincinnati and try to pull away from Ohio State. You have to get Pitt. You have to get, if you bring in West Virginia to kind of counteract like Maryland or whatever, great. If you can nab Virginia before the Big Ten gets them. I feel like locking down the South with Florida State and Clemson means absolutely nothing if you let the Big Ten take Miami and Georgia Tech. Because why would you let them in two of the biggest recruiting states? And Miami is a recruiting hotbed. So you're going to grab Florida State and Clemson, which are they going to win at the same level they've been doing? No. Like Clemson went on their run because the ACC was easy. They're not going to be 10-win Clemson in the SEC. And if they were, I'd be shocked. But like you're going to have to play like Georgia and Alabama's every year. You've been losing to Notre Dame. Like, right? So, like, what are you doing? The SEC strategy, to me, makes no sense. And if ESPN's pulling the strings, they've already said ESPN's, like, leaked out that they're not willing to pay more. So, the gap that everyone keeps talking about where the SEC is going to be making a ton more money when Texas and Oklahoma come in, we still don't know the number. They're not just going to add Florida State and Clemson to that number. Because then they're going to have to divide it by more teams, right? Makes no sense.
Yeah. So
you're kind of just waiting to see what the Big Ten decides to do because they have three networks that are paying. So they don't need to persuade just one network to pay more. They could say like, hey, NBC, you want to pay a little bit more and then we can get like Miami and Notre Dame? I bet NBC would say, hell yeah. We want Notre Dame to be, we don't want to be showing Notre Dame play Toledo. Isn't that who they almost lost to on Peacock last year? Like the first Peacock game. It's like, yeah, we want to show that. It's like, no, you can show Notre Dame, Miami. Like, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Like, perfect. Because then you get other games. You get Miami versus Penn State. You get Notre Dame, Michigan back. You get Notre Dame, Michigan State, Purdue. Like you're increasing your value of games that they haven't been playing. And then you have three networks to bid on them. Because you bring it in, NBC's not going to get all the Notre Dame games anymore. But then maybe Fox will pay a little bit more because now they can show more Notre Dame games. Same with CBS. Maybe they're like, yeah, we're going to do that too. And so that's where I think the divide's going to happen. If the SEC stays regional, I honestly don't think there's going to be a power two after like a decade hits. That's my final thing. I like all the rumors are heating up. I don't want to spend a lot more time on it because that's pretty much all I have. We can kind of wrap up the show. But A, you think doesn't really matter to me. I think it's up to the Big Ten to make a move. I don't think the SEC is going to do it because I don't think ESPN wants to pay more. So if Clemson and Florida State announced they're going to the SEC, I'd be completely shocked. Like if it happened next week. If Colorado goes to Texas, or not the Big 12, I mean, because the rumor is that Deion Sanders wants to get into Texas recruiting, and the easiest way to do that is to get to the Big 12 again. And there's some serious smoke there. If Colorado said, like, yeah, we joined the Big 12, I would not be shocked. Because I think that there needs to be another nationwide conference. Adding Colorado, you already have BYU. Maybe you can pull away some of like the Western things. There's rumors that they're talking with like Gonzaga and UConn for basketball only. Make it work. Make another national conference that's going to pull away from the SEC power. And then I think you start to see more national championships from different conferences. Even if there's only two other big conferences with the Big Ten and the Big 12, which is going to be annoying if they're both named that. But as I told you, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have three major conferences. It's going to be the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. And they're all going to have like 20 teams in them. And people will still write articles saying, I can see a way that we can get into two conferences. We can name it like the NFL and the AFL. Be perfect. They play each other for the Super Bowl. And I'll be like, doesn't make any sense, man. So, anything you want to add?
Not specifically within the conference alignments, but just highlight the fact that the Lady Noles are going to be playing for the College World Series championship this week.
And that could have been a Big Ten versus SEC battle with them playing Oklahoma, Matt. They could be taking down the big bad SEC as a Big Ten member, but they haven't joined yet.
Well, they took down the SEC with Tennessee.
No one cares about Tennessee.
Peyton Manning does.
I saw someone from Tennessee like freaking out because their recruiting's been like dying. And I'm like, what do you expect, guys? Like, you have to build. I don't think they're on the blue chip ratio thing either. But you have to build and win. Like, it's tough now. Like, it's taken Michigan and Harbaugh like 8 years to get to the level of talent and depth that you need to compete. Tennessee was close last year. They didn't have the depth, right? So you lose a couple guys, injured, get banged up, and you falter down the end of the season. I've seen that happen with Michigan like 4 years in a row when Harbaugh first got there, right? How many times are they like highly ranked going into like the end of the year and they're losing to Iowa and then losing to Ohio State and like ending the season on like a skid? It takes a while to build that stuff up. So Tennessee, I feel your pain. And would I like to meet Tennessee in the playoffs? Yes, I would enjoy that. Joe Milton versus Michigan again. That'd be a great matchup, I think. I think they have a better chance in Florida, if I'm being honest. Someone still said that Fanatics put out a list of like their top selling teams, and it was like Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Florida. And I was like, Florida in the top six? Like, that's a very like odd team. Like, I would have even picked Penn State ahead of them, right? Because like, how many people I've never really see, unless I'm in Florida, I never really see people wearing Florida gear around, right? And maybe it was only for football. I don't know. Cause like, I still see a lot of basketball. Like, I mean, I guess I'm in North Carolina, so I see a lot of Duke UNC stuff, but I don't know. I thought Florida stood out to me as kind of odd that they would be in that upper echelon considering their team hasn't really been competing on that level for a while. Although Urban's getting a documentary on Netflix, supposedly, Matt, with Florida. You excited to watch that?
Is it on how to completely ruin an NFL team?
That's two of your favorite things, Urban Meyer and Florida Gators. It's going to be great TV to watch, Matt. He can kick whoever he wants on this show. It's probably going to be about Aaron Hernandez, right?
Yeah, there's a very high likelihood he'll be there.
And Tim Tebow, my man. That'd be good. I always like Tim Tebow stuff. But I think that's all I have this week. You have anything else?
Yeah, just excited to see if we can upset the Sooners going for the three-peat, get our rightful place back as a national champion.
The Sooners have won like 50 games in a row, which in softball or even baseball is like ridiculous because of all like the bad break things that can happen.
Yeah.
So if they end the season on like an even more undefeated streak, that's going to be insane. Didn't Florida State lose to them last time they were in the championship game?
Yeah, that was one of the teams. They were one of the last teams to beat them before they rattled off everyone.
I wonder if, I think Oklahoma beat Michigan too, one of the last times they were in it. Or maybe it was Florida, our big rival Florida, yeah. I can't remember now.
And that's one of the things that, like, I usually have a hard time watching other sports that aren't football related, but with the Lady Noles right now and Lonnie Alameda, their coach, I really like the way that they choose to situationally play. Like there's a lot of times where runners are on and they're willing to bunt runners over into scoring position, and like there's a lot of games that I feel like you're not seeing that as much, and a lot of it's so much more just swing for the fences and hope that you get lucky. And I feel like they're kind of making their own luck in some aspects, because especially against their game against Washington, they threw down a bunt, went to move the runner over, they overthrew first base and ended up getting one of the runs to put the game away as a result. I just think, like, some of that small ball stuff, it's nice to still see that teams are doing it and being successful with it.
I think in even the college baseball stuff, Clemson got eliminated. They got upset. They have Michigan's old coach. And who was the other one? Oh, Iowa upset, like, North Carolina. And then they were so dead in the bullpen that they ended up hitting like 10 batters the next game against Indiana State and lost. So Indiana State moved on. Larry Bird's cool, man. It's crazy. Someone said that they had more hit batters than touchdowns of all of last season for football. So can you imagine? You're like, hey, we can advance. We're so close. And then you're like, we're out of pitchers, though. You're like, oh, dang. Like, that stinks. We came really close. But that's all. We have some more off-season stuff. If there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. We'll be back next week. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.